What is going on, y'all? And thank you again so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, I'm not in the ship alone. I have the best of the best, the comb-over king himself, Kyle Fels.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in Skeleton Studios on a cold, rainy day.
I love
in
it.
In April, me too.
Gosh, I love this weather right now.
When I say cold, it's like 53. It's not cold.
Yeah, you're not freezing.
But it's cool for this time of year.
We'll take it. We've actually had seasons.
I know. I love it. My garden loves it too.
Oh, man.
I think we got about an inch and a half just last night.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Dude, I'm excited that we actually have a seasons. Folks, we all make jokes. If all of y'all that live here in Texas, you know, sometimes we don't really get them. We go from the winter to the summer. We get literally maybe 2 weeks of spring, maybe, and then it's just hot. Here lately, though, been pretty nice. Not going to complain. Nice. I'll put up with the bugs. I'll put up with the mowing. Like, I have been mowing a lot.
Yeah,
me too. Right, you got to knock all that down. We've been mowing a lot. But other than that, dude, everything's been golden. Digging it.
And one of the things I dread about mowing all the time is my allergies. Like, it doesn't matter what I do. But, man, you got me that bee pollen.
I saved my bread.
I'm telling you, it's really been working.
Dude.
I eat a mouthful of bee pollen. When I say mouthful, like...
he goes,
and he just gets a quarter, mouthful. Maybe.
Yeah, like a teaspoon.
Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe like a tablespoon for me. I've been chomping.
Damn, look at this guy go.
And I'm telling you, my sense of smell has increased. I mowed my parents' whole place because my mom's out of town.
With a nose like that, you could probably tell what they're cooking downtown.
that's not, no joke. It doesn't work though because it's been broken like seven times.
If it worked.
Yeah, hockey sticks and glass boards. but yeah, man, I mean, the bee pollen.
It's crazy,
check
right?
That out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would have thought it?
I did it simply because
I know where you found it.
I can't tell you that. I stole it from the bees. No, that actually come from the farmer's market. Well, the only reason I did it is because I've been reading up about like all the vitamins and minerals you can get from bee pollen. And of course, we've been trying to do as we're getting older, we're trying to stay in better health because we got the grandkids we got to hang around for. If I was to die now, my kids wouldn't really care. But I want to be around for my grandkids.
Now, your my kids family would care. I'm the one that's supporting the whole thing.
They'd take the pillar right out from under them.
Yeah.
But yeah. I found the bee pollen, and I'd always heard people talk about it, so I'm like, I'm going to give it a chance. And there's something else I'm going to try, too, simply because of the name of it.
What is it?
Royal jelly.
What's that?
I don't know. Something that comes with bees. You got to read up on that stuff, but you can take royal jelly, which is going to be the name of my new character.
I want to try that psychedelic honey that comes from, like, Tibet. You ever seen that?
Heck yeah, I've seen that. We need to get in on some of that.
I don't know where you can buy it at.
Yeah, how would you?
You need to pick me up some beeswax for my bowstrings tomorrow.
We're going down to Scarborough Fair.
Renaissance Fair. What are you going to be dressed as?
I've dropped the ball. I kept saying I was going to dress up. And then, of course, time gets away from you in the whole year. And I always said I'm going to do it every year.
You already got all the blacksmithing tools. You just need a cool looking leather like apron. And you're just wearing
nothing but the leather apron.
Carry your hammer around. A pair of tongs. People will get it.
I do. I want to build foam like armor to look like the dwarven armor. And that buddy of ours, X builds, can do that. He makes really cool stuff. And I've always said I'm going to get with him and figure out how to make it. Cause I watch it on YouTube and get all this stuff. And I've just never done it.
Is X going to give it to you?
X is going to give it to me.
Right on.
You know,
do you have one of those leather aprons like a farrier wears?
No.
They're pretty cool.
I don't. Yeah, they are pretty neat, but no, I don't. I don't even wear an apron. I'm just like raw dog in life. Just swinging
like a bow tie and a cloak.
That's pretty that's what I, yeah, that's what I wear. I like to wear real thin nylon shirts so when the heat gets on them, they just melt and run. That's what I like. Like you backed up to a Dearborn in your wind jacket, right? That's what I like. I tell you what I don't like, folks. A little story I'm going to share here with you out of Fort McDowell, Arizona.
Okay.
I know y'all are going to be surprised. I'm not really sure how to pronounce this. Yavapai, I think, is the natives there. Yavapai Reservation.
Sure. Sounds good.
Have no idea. No idea. But apparently this went down in 1988. Let me lay this on you. It says, I saw the Hoof Man.
Okay.
Yeah. A creature people said stalked the Fort McDowell Yavapai Nation Reservation in Maricopa County, Arizona, twice in my life. Both times it happened at night. The first time I was 6 years old and my family was having a cookout. Everybody was outside enjoying themselves when they started hearing hooves. The hooves running around our house at a speed that didn't sound natural. Now the noise was fast, hard, and deliberate. One by one, the adults stopped talking. The whole gathering went quiet. Then all we could hear were those hooves moving around us in the dark. My mother suddenly started rushing all of us kids inside. Right then, the electricity in the house cuts off.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. We're standing in silence and darkness when I heard the heavy breathing of what sounded like a large animal. In the sound of silence. So a second later, there was a loud thump, like something had landed hard in the front yard. Then came rustling. Just as suddenly, the lights came back on and the music started again. That was when my grandfather yelled out that our meat was gone. This thing stole the meat, y'all. The raw meat that they had just put on the grill had disappeared.
Man, can you imagine you're outside and you're trying to
grill steaks with the fam?
Grill steaks with the fam. The lights go out. You go to check the breaker and something steals your meat.
Dude, I'd be so aggravated.
I hate the hoof man.
The hoof man is such a pain. So get this, is when we checked the area, they found a single pair of hoof prints in front of the grill. At least the wolf, look, you're grilling. He smelled it. You didn't invite him, so he had to come over and scare you and steal it. So there was also some kind of animal hair left on behind also. At that point, everybody rushed back inside because they're terrified. My uncles grabbed their guns and went looking for whatever had taken it, but they found nothing. Nobody had to say what they believed it was. Everyone already knew. This happened on Fort McDowell in 1998. The second time was even worse because this time we actually saw him up close. What I saw matched what people usually described. He was a very large entity, at least 8 foot tall, solid black in appearance with glowing red eyes. The Hoofman. There in Arizona,
but the thing that stole the meat, they never saw it, right? They
just
saw
the hooves. Yeah.
So my question was: the grill open, and maybe just like a goat come walking by, I was like, "Oh, that steak looks good," and pulled it off there because
you got
goats getting all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but off of a burning grill,
if it's hungry enough,
I don't know.
Maybe the hoof man. I mean, he's out there.
They don't say the size of the hooves. They don't say it was like horse hooves or like Percheron hooves.
Listen, I'm not saying the hoof man isn't real. That's not what I'm saying.
I think that's what he's saying, folks. He's saying it's goat man
now. I picture it's dark out and the hoof man's out there grazing. And then he's like, smells those ribeyes. Yeah. And it's like, oh, wait up.
Hold up.
What I'm going to do. Yeah. I'm going to cut the power on this place, and when they go in there to check the breaker, I'm going to steal
their
meat.
I'm
going
to scare the hell out of these people and steal their meat. Look, but why is it you would get it if it was one? Like, if it was just one person out there by themselves. This thing came when there's a whole party.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Right? Like, that's kind of unsettling, it's like, I'm coming anyway. Here I am.
When you describe Arizona and your reservation, again, I think, like, man, it's a skinwalker or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. After being out there and driving around, that whole area is kind of creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, there are stories I've got, and we'll get into some eventually. I might even bring some up soon, where people have talked about driving through areas of Arizona that may be a 100-mile stretch of road back through the deserts and parts of the reservation, and you're literally out there where you don't see any lights, any people, and all of a sudden there's just a house.
Remember, we saw a mobile home out there. We're like, this guy's 80 miles
from anything out there. And so what's out there?
Skinwalkers.
Yeah, probably a good chance. If they're going to be anywhere, that's where they're going to be.
Yeah. Be careful when you're grilling.
Note to self, don't go out there in the dark.
Right.
Or you'll hear your beard rubbing around on your sleeping bag and you'll start panicking.
Yeah.
It's a skinwalker. It's not. It's just Kyle.
Cam, you know about the Honey Island Swamp Monster, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, enough. But yeah, like, I'm not intimately full of knowledge on that topic.
Well, this person.
But I'm aware.
This person had an encounter with it, he says. Says, my name is TF, and I'm 53 years old now. I grew up hunting the swamps of Louisiana and fishing both inshore and offshore.
A word?
Back when I was 19, a friend of mine named Rob and I used to go out at night shining deer and hogs.
That's a funny name, Rob and I.
Yeah. I know it's illegal, and I'm not trying to dress it up as anything else, but back then...
Spotlighting pigs?
And deer.
Ah, the one-eyed coon dog got loose. I got you.
But it was a quick way to put meat in the freezer.
That is frowned upon.
Yes. One night, we were hunting behind the Stennis Space Center area around the Honey Island Swamp Country, just over the Mississippi state line. Our usual method was simple. We would park on the road and work the swamp edges on both sides, watching for deer or hogs crossing the roadway. That night, we were in an old Pinto hatchback.
Heck yeah.
We both had 12-gauge shotguns.
Ooh.
With large lights on our heads and mag lights taped to the shotgun barrels. We started walking down the road, like we have done plenty of times before. Then all at once, something began matching our steps from inside the swamp, just off in the tree line. It did not crash around wildly. It did not stumble. It just kept pace with us. Every time we moved, I heard it. Splish, splash, splish, splash. 2 feet, not four, moving through the swamp water and muck. We kept shining our lights into the trees, trying to catch whatever was making the noise, but it stayed just inside the line, where we could hear it and still not see it. Even with the headlamps and the mag lights, it kept itself screened by the swamp growth. That is what made it so unnerving. If it had stepped out onto the road, we could have seen it plainly. We were carrying loaded shotguns with 3-inch double-aught buck, and we had extra shells in our pockets. If it had shown itself, we were ready. But it never did. We went about a mile and a half down that road and stopped at a big turnaround. We stood there staring into the swamp with our lights, trying to figure out what the hell was in there. At that point, it was not just following us. It was pacing back and forth in front of us, still inside the tree line, still where we could hear the steps but not see a body. I did not want to start blind firing into the swamp and waste ammo on shadows and noise. That was when the fear really started getting to me. People can laugh if they want, but when you get genuinely scared, your body does what it does. I was scared enough that it hit me physically. Whatever was out there never made a vocal sound. No roar, no growl, no grunt, no threat display at all. Just footsteps. One foot, then the other. Splish, splash, splish, splash. Finally, both of us had had enough. We said, "To hell with this," and started back towards the car. The thing kept pacing us the whole way. It stayed out of the swamp, moving along with us as we walked the road back. Same measured steps, same silence. When we got maybe 200 yards from the car, the splashing stopped. That should have been the end of it, but it got worse. As luck would have it, while turning the Pinto around, we got stuck in a ditch.
Oh.
We had to drag out one of those old steel bumper jacks and use the back jack, the front end out, a little bit at a time.
The Widowmaker.
Yep.
Nice.
We had to do it more than once. It probably took half an hour, maybe longer. Every second of it, I expected that thing to come boiling out of the swamp and get on top of us while we were exposed and distracted. But it never showed itself. It never made another sound. We got out of there. We never went back to that part of the swamp again. A couple of weeks ago, I brought it back up to my buddy Rob. He still remembers it like it happened yesterday. I told him I thought that we might have seen Bigfoot, or at least heard it. He said I was crazy. Maybe I am. All I know is that something with 2 feet paced us through the swamp at night and kept itself hidden the entire time, and had enough sense to stop before we reached the car. I'm 53 now. I have 6 kids, a wife, and a hectic job running a towing operation out of New Orleans. So I do not have much time to sit around trying to impress anybody with just campfire stories. If people want to believe this, fine. If they do not, well, that's fine too. I'm just sharing what happened. I still spend time in the outdoors. I still hunt some. Those these days, I fish more than I hunt, usually offshore out of Venice, Louisiana. I'm not scared of the woods, but I never forgot that night, and I never forgot the sound of whatever it was walking through the swamp without ever letting us see it. TF.
Man, what is it about the fact that you can actually hear the difference in like quadruped versus biped movement?
I don't know, but you can.
Yeah, it's so, I don't know. Like you can hear it and be like, dude, that's something with 2 legs walking.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure a lot of hunters have experienced it, you too. I mean, sometimes you will be walking, you're like, man, did I just hear something? Because you're trying not to bump something if you're walking in, you know?
And then you're like, trying to be quiet. Or is that did something I do echo off of something? Or is, you know, yeah. And then you're like, wait, you stop. Like, what is that?
Or I mean, how many times does it sound like it's really loud and it's a bird and you're like, why does it sound so loud?
Yeah. Like they're down there just dirt bathing in a bunch of leaves. You're like, what's going on? Like we always joke squirrels sound like they weigh like 60 pounds.
Yeah. You're like, oh, it's coming in. Yeah. And you're like,
that's an armadillo.
Yeah.
But with the footsteps is different. Mm-hmm. Like you can hear, dude. Yeah. That's a little unsettling. I got you one here from, again, here's Pennsylvania's Allegheny National Forest, folks. Says something happened to a friend at a rainbow gathering in 2009. Now, if you don't know what the rainbow gathering is, I think it's supposed to be like the rainbow people gathering. And if I'm right, this is what started back in the 70s. It was more of like a hippie commune movement. Uh-huh. Where they wanted to bring everybody from all walks of life together and kind of just kick her. I say hippie idea because that's just kind of what it was when we were brought up as kids. That was the whole thing. But it's actually a good deal. Like everybody gets together. They want to live without, you know, money. They want to live without all this. So they just kind of come together. Yeah, something along those lines. So apparently this was going down in 2009 in the Allegheny National Forest.
I picture a lot of flute playing.
It might have been. So it says that for me and my friend, they said it was before most of the people had arrived and we were camped off by ourselves away from everyone else. We were set up along the main trail that runs from the parking area down a steep hill into the large clearing where the gathering was centered. It was dusk and the light was dropping fast. We had a fire going and we were sitting there just having one of those deep conversations about life and spirituality. After a while, we decided to head down the trail to the clearing to look for food. Just as we stood up, a few people who had been walking up the trail stopped about 30 yards below us to rest. Then my friend Anna said, "Hey, do you hear that?" Well, I listened, and I could clearly hear someone walking in the woods to our left. The problem was that no one should have been coming from that direction. We were all well away from the main clearing, and all the lights and activity were in the opposite direction. The footsteps were coming from below us and to the left, moving straight toward the people on the trail. I looked directly at the spot where the sound should have matched a person walking, but there was still nothing there. Now I could see leaves being kicked up where the steps were landing. Something was moving through the woods, but I couldn't see anything making those noises. Whatever it was reached the people on the trail while they were talking among themselves. None of them reacted. None of them seemed to notice a thing. But I could hear the steps slow down as it passed them. Almost as if it turns its attention towards them for a moment, checking them out. Then it started coming directly towards Anna and myself. Anna was fumbling with her keychain trying to get a small flashlight. Whatever was making those steps came right up to the other side of our fire pit and never hesitated. It approached slowly, and when Anna finally turned on the light and shouted, "Hey," it reacted instantly. It shot uphill past me at incredible speed, kicking up leaves and dirt as it went. I still get goosebumps thinking about it. The whole time it sounded like an invisible child power walking, short, quick steps, almost like a tiny machine gun rhythm through the leaves. When it rushed past me, it still had the same fast, compact stride. There was no way I could have chased it. It was unbelievably fast. We both ran down the hill and got out of there. Now, this really happened. I never felt like it was a ghost. It did not feel human to me. For some reason, I always leaned towards the side of fairies or leprechauns.
Mm.
More than anything, I had the very distinct impression that this little invisible being did not realize it was being noticed. Thomas.
Wow.
So maybe, again, it saw a fae, or is this a child of Glimmer Man?
Yeah, maybe. Right?
But they didn't see anything, just a foot, and saw the ground reacting. So is it a leprechaun? Is it a fae? What is it? Because we've not had a lot of these to where we didn't see anything, only saw and heard footsteps.
Right.
And then actually saw the physical representation of those footsteps as it ran past. So I don't know what on earth that could have been, other than toddler Glimmer Man.
Right.
Glimmer Man toddling. Folks, let's take a quick break. When we get back, I have a stretch of extremely unsettling and troublesome stories taking place in my favorite place, the woods, y'all. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
y'all. So I had a moment the other day that really humbled me. I bent down to tie one of my shoes and I made that noise that, like I'd just been working in my garden all day and I was sore, except all I did was exist. And I started thinking, wait a minute, I used to be able to eat gas station burritos at midnight and wake up looking like I could audition for an action movie. Now, I look like a tortilla, and my body's like, yeah, we're storing that for winter. Here's the thing. I'm still working out. I'm eating mostly the same stuff, but that stubborn weight around the stomach, it's like I signed a lease, and it refuses to leave. And it turns out, it's not just getting older, or dad life, or whatever you want to call it. As guys get older, our bodies start changing the rules on us. We naturally start storing more fat, losing muscle faster. And a big part of that comes down to testosterone levels dropping over time. And then it gets worse. The more body fat you gain, the more your body starts converting testosterone into estrogen, which makes it even easier to gain more fat. It's like a betrayal from your own body. So yeah, that's been fun. That's actually why I, and Cam as well, started taking Mars Men. Now I'll be honest, I'm always skeptical of supplements. But Mars Men is designed to support healthy testosterone levels using natural ingredients like Tongarali or Shilajit, zinc, boron, no weird stuff, no synthetic hormones. And I've been using it for a bit now, and I gotta say, I've noticed a difference. My energy feels way more consistent, not that afternoon crash when you feel like you need a nap and a life reset. Workouts feel better, working in the garden feels better, shooting my bow feels better, I'm recovering quicker. And mentally, I just feel more dialed in. I'm not saying I woke up looking like I'm 25 again, but let's just say summer's coming, and I'm feeling a lot better about it than I was a couple of months ago. It's basically helping my body feel like it's working with me again instead of actively sabotaging me. And the quality is legit. It's made in the USA, third-party tested, so you actually know what you're getting. Plus, there's a 90-day money-back guarantee. So in the worst case, you try it, you don't love it, you get your money back. But over 91% of users report higher energy levels, so clearly something is working. For a limited time, our listeners can get 50% off for life, plus free shipping and 3 free gifts at mengotomars.com. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off and 3 free gifts when you check out. And it's also available on Amazon. After you make your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go tie my shoes again and see if I can do it without sounding like I'm fighting for my life.
Like I brought up earlier, I don't know, a few episodes back, we're getting into spring and summer, right? It's time to be camping. It's time to go fishing and hiking and just be in the outdoors. Go out and spend time in the wonderful outdoors. It's good for you. I love it. It's my favorite place to be in the woods. I know a lot of y'all listening, same thing. So I thought, what better time to give you some more stories to make you unsettled, right? Let's get you creeped out before you go in there. We've got a bunch of them sent to us. Y'all have really turned up and turned out on this whole thing. Man, stories flooding in. So let me start. Sean sends this one in. I think you're going to like this. It's a little bit about me. I've grown up in the woods, camping, fishing, hunting, running around. So I'm used to pretty much everything out there and saw most things in the woods that you could see. I've pretty much seen around there. And I've also been a big fan, like Little Fizzy, of horror movies since I was a kid, so nothing really shocks me that much anymore. But a little over a decade ago, my wife and I decided to go camping. So we got a cabin in the campground just to go check it all out. Now, for us, this was the last cabin in a group of three. So we were seated or sitting right at the forest's edge in the very back corner of this campground. Now, this place isn't even in that backwoods, really. I mean, we had phone service. It's really not far from Bedford, Pennsylvania. So here we go again, folks, in Pennsylvania. So the campground wasn't busy at all. So the wife and I did our usual campfire that evening. No issues, right? Nothing strange. We saw a few critters running around. We even saw a flying squirrel come by, which is pretty uncommon, but it was still awesome to see. So anyhow, we put the fire out. The wife, she goes into the cabin to get ready for bed, and the cabin has this little small open porch on it with a porch light. So I go in with her, sitting in there, and get a phone call. It's my cousin. So I step out on the front porch to have a little chat. All I remember is walking around the porch while talking to my cousin, and I go to the far side, the side that's facing the forest's edge. And at this moment, I freeze. As I write this, my whole body is covered in goosebumps. Every hair on the back of my neck still standing as I type this. What I saw, I still can't really fathom. It was a small, gray-colored bipedal creature, just standing there staring at me. It never moved. Now, this thing was no more than maybe 2 foot tall. Now, the color is what really caught my attention. It was like nothing I had ever seen before by the way it stood out in the darkness. I couldn't make out any of its features, just the shape and the color of it being there. So I slowly back away, back into the doorway, but I never take my eyes off of it. It was right off the porch, just out of the light, maybe only 5 foot away, just in the edge of the woods. My wife said she had never seen me look so terrified in all the years we'd been together, so she knew that something was wrong. Now, later, after talking to my cousin, he said that I just went silent and hung up the phone. So I went back out about a half hour later. This thing's gone, right? So go in, go to bed, try to get some sleep. Next morning, everything's fine. Wife and I get up. We go for a good hike. We come back. We make lunch. After lunch, we're just hanging out inside, and everything in the cabin starts to shake. And then one of the loudest sounds I've ever heard flew over us. And it only lasted a few seconds. So I go outside, and there's a few other people outside there just looking around. Then it happens again. It's fighter jets. It's fighter jets flying so low over the top of this area, it's rattling the cabins. Now, I have no idea if they were looking for something or this was just standard military training, but it was strange. So it flew over a few more times and the wife and I were getting ready to leave, so we packed up and left. Now, we haven't been back to this campground since. I'm sorry, we have been, but nothing strange has ever happened again. Now, I don't stay in that cabin, though. I don't go back into that area. But I was talking to a good friend just a year or so ago, who's kind of into the supernatural, and he mentioned Pukwudgies. Anybody think, right? Pukwudgies. Sean says, look, I guess it very well could have been a Pukwudgie, but part of me also wants to think, is it something alien? Is that why the fighter jets were flying over that whole day after me seeing this? So there you go, folks. Maybe there's Pukwudgie in the tree lines. Maybe it was an alien. I guess it could be, right? If it's gray, if that's, they don't say, Sean doesn't say anything about it being gray. Just says it was the color that stood out, where you could see the shape, you could make it out, but that was really all it was. Now, first thing I think of is raccoons, right? Possums. But a 2 foot tall raccoon, I guess. Maybe that'd be a huge raccoon, but he prefaces everything by saying, look, I grew up out here in the woods. I know what they look like when raccoons come into camp, all this. That's not what this was, just, I guess, given the shape of it. So I thought it was a really interesting story. This one has, well, nobody put their name on this one. They just emailed this in. This is pretty interesting. Another Pukwudgie story told by this fellow's grandfather. It says, my grandfather was full-blood Cree and Muscogee, full-blood native. And during the Depression era, the family horse farm in Oklahoma had gone under, and there was no work anywhere nearby. So my grandfather and two of his brothers somehow found their way into northern Minnesota for logging work right along the border of Canada. So they all three made the trip. They said when they got up there, they were instructed by my great-grandfather, their father, to go and make contact with the local native tribe, the Ojibwe. Says it was a different era and the natives were treated very poorly and looked down upon by most non-native folk at the time. So they did as instructed. So they went there, they make contact with the local Ojibwe tribe, and the tribe just throws a party, some sort of celebration, welcomes them with open arms. They're excited to see them, you know, family come up in a way. And so that's the way it went. So that evening, said the elders set them down and they're giving them advice, showing them on a map. This is where you want to go camp. You don't want to mess around with all the non-native loggers. You don't want to get them riled up, cause a problem with everything. So, you know, that's where this is. They even gave them most of the supplies they needed, the food, the tools. They pretty much set them up, right? But this is where it gets interesting, y'all. It says, one of the main things that the elders pressed on my grandfather and his brothers was to place some offerings of tobacco, fry bread, and whiskey just out on the perimeter of their camp, because it was known to be in this area that Pukwudgies lived, or at least came by and frequented. So the brothers go up, establish a camp, get it all set up, find a place to go. I'm assuming a stump, he doesn't put it in here, or they don't put it in here, rather, of what it is, where they're putting it. But they go and place some offerings. So the first night, everything, they get set up, got their fire going, offerings up, tents up, everything's rocking, right? Says one of the grandfather's brothers sits there and starts basically talking trash about the Pukwudgies, saying, look, I don't believe in this. This is pretty much a waste of time. It's kind of nonsense, right? So I was like, yeah, I, you know, whatever, but this is the way he felt. No big deal. Go to bed, get up, work, do their whole thing. The second night, the brother, which was the older brother, the one that said, I think this is all a joke, needed to go to the restroom. So makes his way. This is dark too. Makes his way off. Well, I say dark, it's probably close to dark. But anyway, makes his way off to the edge of camp to use the bathroom. Says within a few minutes, he comes busting back into camp, completely shaken up. So the grandfather, the other brother's like, what is going on? He didn't want to talk about it at all. Gets his stuff, goes to the camp, goes back into the tent. He's done, right? Like, I'm done with this. Next day comes along. Next day during lunch, he's sitting there. He finally decides, I've got to tell my brothers what I saw. So I said, I went out to the latrine, you know, the area that they've got dug so you can take care of your business. And he said, around this time, he heard the sound of glass. Like if you kind of clinked two glasses together, something making noise with glass. So he's looking around, being real quiet. And he says, at this point is when he sees a small being. He said, now this thing has what he called extreme features. And this thing is picking through the offerings that they had left out. And he's got this pint of whiskey. And this little guy, he says, is trying to get this pint of whiskey opened. He says he's looking at this thing. And when he sees this guy, he kind of is taken aback, makes some noise. This little thing turns around and looks right at him and smiles. But when he smiles, he's like, it's not like a friendly, hey, it's this very toothy, evil, pointy grin. Well, at this point, he's like, I'm legitimately caught with my pants down. He freaks out, right? He's froze. He said, when this thing saw me, looked at me, grinned, and just kind of held eye contact for a few seconds, it then grabs the rest of the stuff and takes off running back into the brush. Now, the grandfather says that the rest of the time that they spent there, the older brother was extremely dedicated to making sure they were offerings. And every chance he got, if he needed to add something extra, he did. He never hesitated to do that. But the grandfather said it didn't end there, that they kept working. And as the months went by, they would have strange noises around their cabin or around their campsite, strange noises in the woods where they worked. They said, and this whoever wrote this in says that his grandfather, what it ended up describing was orbs, that they had seen orbs in the woods multiple times moving through. They're not large, you know, small balloon, I guess, but small orbs moving around through there. The grandfather also said there was a few like strange accidents that had happened. They had a disappearance. One of the loggers went missing. A couple of them, of course, this could be from anything being up there, kind of got a little like crazy, got a little off from being up there and had to be taken off the mountain. He says, this person says, whenever I got older, I actually sat down one time with my grandfather when he was much, much older. And I said, was you just telling us this story to all of us kids to just mess with us? Is this just something fun? And the grandfather said, no, not at all. Like, this was the truth, 100% the truth, that everything that he described going down is what happened to them while they were up there. So, again, a crazy puck wudgy story, right? Can you imagine? So we've got, there's two. But imagine being able to see one. Good thing he was in the bathroom area, because something like that looks back, you're probably going to need to be in a bathroom area. Just saying, I would probably need to be in a bathroom area if a Pukwudgie with an evil grin looked back at me trying to open up a bottle of whiskey. Imagine what he's going to be like when he's like halfway into the bottle, right? When the Pukwudgie's just liquored up. Now he's got orbs flying through the forest. The whole thing could just go south. This dude writes in and says, what is this? I can't find this guy's name. Look, I guess, again, nameless. So nameless, thanks for sending this in. This said, this happened back in early 2006. So my family and I went to a park, and we've been going to this park for close to 20 years. It's a quite big one, too. And still, one day we come across a part of it where these meadows usually continued, yet all of a sudden, there's this big part of the forest is sitting there. So it says, we're like at first wondering what happened. Like, I thought this was, I remember this multiple times. We've come here for over the years, and I don't remember this being here. So the whole family's like, well, let's go check it out. So they walk down, start going in, and they go inside of it. And they said, in there, it's pretty dark, right? It was an afternoon in the autumn. Said, it's kind of weird. There's almost no wind. It's very quiet, like silent. Said there was a part where the light would come through, but it seemed dim coming down through the trees. Like there was a screen it was coming through in some way. So he says, I looked around, and on the ground, said the soil was black. He said it was really very surreal. Said, now the other strange thing is the tree roots. They were tree roots that had kind of made their way up out of the ground. And in these tree roots was old red bricks, like crimson red bricks down there. This person says, hey, look. It looked weathered, like the forest with the bricks, the everything. This thing looked 100 years old, if not much older. Like it had been here for generations. It says, now where it gets strange. So we're all just standing around, looking around, wondering why we never saw the forest and why we had never even been in it. And he said, the strange thing is, it wasn't a huge forest, right? It was just a big chunk of trees. They have no idea. Said again, said it started being very dim, there was no wind, and said at this point it starts feeling stuffy in these trees, like something was in the air, kind of creeping us all out. And I heard a voice, and said at this time, this voice I hear tells me to leave, and that I need to leave now, go. So I tell the rest of the family, and they're like, okay, let's just go. So of course they make their way on out. Spend the next few days, they don't even mess around down there, do the rest of stuff at the park, go home. Right? They said they come back in a month or two later. They go back to go camping again. Now, they said there's some power lines there before the start next to the road, and it was all still there. So they go there. They're like, let's go back to that forest. They go right back there. They trek right back in there, except it's gone. The forest isn't there. They said it's not only not there, it looks like it's never been there. The grass, the meadows looks exactly like they had remembered before they found the forest. Said it was truly like it had never even existed. And the family and I still talk about this to this day of we knew where we were at exactly and what had happened. And they still have no answers. So, again, it sounds like a time slip. You know, we've covered that story before where people had talked about smelling it. That one group went off into the dark forest where they thought they had seen a forest fire and like a burned up watchtower and all of this. And they come back out of it and there's no fire and all that's gone. There's no watchtower. There's no anything, right? The whole deal has just vanished. Again, a little unsettling. I guess if you're going to have something creepy in the forest, a time slip might be the coolest thing to have, right? If it's non-violent, non-threatening time slip might really be the coolest thing to have there. To where it's something like that. Lost houses, lost, you name it, right? Little townships, little anything around through there. You find these things lost. You come back the next month later and none of it exists. That's pretty awesome. Here's one from Chad from a deer hunting little adventure here that says, I was on a hunting lease one time in the middle of Georgia. Now, this hunting camp had been abandoned for several years. So whenever we got on it, of course, it had been untouched. Now, I'm not a superstitious person at all. It doesn't affect me. But I will say this. First time I went on this place, it felt spooky, legitimately spooky, and it continued to. Now, this place was miles down an overgrown dirt road and was completely surrounded by the woods. It's probably the most secluded place I've personally ever been. And I used to hunt there by myself a lot. And there was always this weird sense that I wasn't really out here by myself. So there was a locked gate at the front of the property, but it wasn't uncommon for us to find the front door of the cabin open, even when the door was locked. Now, that was pretty creepy, but that's not what this whole creepy thing is about. See, one evening, I'm down there hunting in this little small valley by a food plot that we'd put in, and it's lining a creek that bordered the property. And from the minute I sat down, I had a very weird feeling. Like I wasn't in a safe place, even though I'm carrying a 308 shooting ballistic round, ballistic tips. So I didn't feel at this point like I'm the top predator out there. Now, that's a bad feeling. You're packing around a 308 and you're like, oh, I don't really know if I should be out here. It goes on to say, now, I didn't see any deer while I was setting the stand, but the forest was just raucous with activity. Critters singing, squirrels barking, birds. Said it was like an evening symphony. Loud. All the stuff's going on. And all of a sudden, silence. Everything just stopped. It felt like everything in the woods turned and was looking directly at me. It was getting dark fast, and I was extremely creeped out, so I just gathered up my stuff, started to walk back to the cabin. About 100 yards away, I had this feeling that something's coming up behind me. So I spun around and pointed my rifle back down the path towards the food plot. That's when I saw it. There was something standing in the middle of the path. Now, this something wasn't a person, but it didn't look like a deer or anything I'd ever seen before. There was hardly any light to make out any discernible features, but it looked like some kind of bipedal deer standing there, just staring at me. Well, I spun and quickly made my way back to the cabin, packed up my gear, and got out of there. I just let the lease run out after that. I never went back. Everything that I had set up stayed there, which may be the reason the lease was abandoned when I got it. So, that for sure is something that I'm not down with. Out of all the stuff, and what's crazy is, I think about this all the time. Out of all the friends that I have that hunt, you know, in the backcountry, and all the friends I've made through all of this stuff in the woods, I don't know anybody personally that's ever seen one of these. And we're talking about people, you know, that's glassing for miles, seeing any of this. And maybe that's not how it works because they're not there. It's something that's evil. It's demonic. It's something preying on you. So it takes the shape of something that it knows you're familiar with, corrupts it enough to really terrify you. And that's what makes it happy. I like to think that's probably what it is. So you're not going to just see one walking around normally, but I don't know. But the idea of a not deer, this is no joke, y'all. When I'm out there hunting, like I just went pig hunting a couple nights ago, right? It's one of the things I think of all the time when I'm walking around out of there. Is like, what would you do out here if you had a sighting, if you saw something like that? One, I could probably never tell anybody, right? You can't. Kyle and I discuss this all the time. You can't tell anybody if he and I had like a really crazy sighting. Nobody's going to believe it. They're going to think you're making it up. So you could never bring it up. You would just have to be like, oh, yeah. And you could tell a few friends, but you could never say it on the show. It would just be way too convenient. So, but there will be signs of like me breaking down, crying when I'm talking about something like this. Things like that may go down. But I've got one here that is in, this is another from Western Pennsylvania, crazy enough. This is one that you can kind of relate to in a way. It says, as a kid growing up here in Western PA, there was an old abandoned railroad near the in the woods near my home. and this rail line ran through a valley with a big, large, winding creek. Now, there were several cuts and tunnels through the hills of these ravines and the valley on either side. Now, I'm pretty sure the railroad actually closed down in the early 1900s, so by the 80s and early 90s, as a kid there, it was overgrown with the tunnels in a pretty advanced degree. So it looked more like natural caves. So, of course, needless to say, back then, that was the perfect area for playing and exploring the woods for a kid. And from a kid's perspective, most parents probably wouldn't want their 11 and 12-year-olds running around in the woods exploring abandoned railroad tunnels. So, one year, we had a pretty warm December, and I had a few friends staying over at my house for Christmas break. So I wanted to take them down to the railroad tunnels. I hadn't been there since the summer. So as we're making our way up to one of these tunnels, we just stop dead in our tracks. And in front of the tunnel, we see a gray skeletal figure holding a scythe. That's right, folks. We see Death himself. So we take off running, sprinting as hard as kids can run. Now, my neighborhood was about a mile away. And of course, mostly uphill, we're fighting the ravine to come back out. So we come busting out of the woods, breathless, complete terror. One of my neighbors, right in his backyard. Well, lucky for us, he's out doing yard work, and he sees us come out, and he wants to know, well, what are we up to? So he comes over, starts talking, can tell we're in serious distress, and we tell him this is what we saw. And he tells us, look, you did not see the Grim Reaper. Puts his stuff up and says, I'll go back with you. Let's go. I'll prove it to you. That way everything's cool. And probably he wanted to see for himself. So all of us go back off down to the creek with my adult neighbor. We come to the tunnel. Sure enough, there he is. Skeletal figure, gray, wearing a black cloak, a distorted, twisted body, and holding up his scythe. And this looks like it's an extension from one of his arms. And he's just standing there motionless, silently, just guarding this tunnel. So my neighbor motions for us to hide. And then he and the Grim Reaper commence to having a stare down. Yeah, this dude starts locking eyes with Death itself. This seems like it lasts forever. And then all of a sudden, the neighbor starts laughing, to the degree that tears are streaming down his cheeks, and he sits down, and then he motions for all of us to come out and see. What we learn is it was a tree struck by lightning. The trunk had exploded. The bark of the tree was still attached in places that appeared to be his cloak, and well, the twisted, exposed portions of the trunk that appeared to be his body. It was a head, an arm, and a scythe. That had probably happened a few months earlier, and the wood had weathered gray, and that's just what had gone down. Now, even now, of course, knowing what caused it, it was still, of course, freaky to look at, made us nervous. We were laughing, but we were happy to leave. This thing was so perfect, it looked almost like someone had tried to carve it, like in a chainsaw carving. The wood was too rough, though, and split, and there had, you know, of all this, so you could tell it was natural. So a few months later, I come back with a camera and some of my other friends to show them the Grim Reaper in the woods. And it's gone. I couldn't even find the remnants of the trunk or the root system from that tree. The entire tree just vanished. Completely gone. I have no idea where it went. Now, I probably haven't been back there now in over 20 years. And I keep telling myself that one day when I get back home, I need to go down there and just see if the Grim Reaper ever come back. So what do y'all think about that? What do you think that is? Right? Like, it's one thing, okay, I get it, you see it in the tree, but then you come back and the tree's gone? Like, what kind of joke is that? Like, I don't even know. That's what made it so interesting, is that one to me doesn't make any sense. I'll tell you one more. This involves fishing. Who doesn't love fishing? Come on. If you don't love fishing, now that's on you. So get a load of this. So this says, okay, this happened again about 15 years ago. My girlfriend at the time lived in a small ranch-style home on the tip of a large acreage plot. And I would often take my shotgun and my fishing pole to the large pond on the back of the property. It was close to the fence marking the property line. So anyway, I'm sitting next to the pond. I'm just casting and reeling for carp or whatever's out there. And I get this wave of fear roll over me. It was an instantaneous, oh no, feeling that I've only ever experienced once before when I saw what was about to be a wreck that I was involved in my car. So I reeled up my line, attached the lure to the catch on the bottom, of course the fishing rod there, and I heard leaves rustling down the bank on my right. So I leaned out past the tree I was next to and could clearly see leaves being kicked up by something, but it wasn't there. I could see the leaves moving, but I couldn't see anything. And for a couple moments, I thought, well, it's just a rodent under all these dead leaves. So I let out a sigh of relief, and whatever was moving froze. At this point, the adrenaline was making me a little shaky, but I wanted to walk over and see what was moving around in the leaves. So I picked up my shotgun, chambered a shell just in case it was a snake or something, because there's a lot of copperheads out here. And as soon as the shell clicked into place, this thing took a step behind the tree it was closest to. Now, bear with me. I could see an outline, but when you record over like an old VHS and you can see the previous movie a little bit, it was an outline of a person that leaned out and started staring at me. And me, being an idiot, I said, "I see you looking at me." And this thing startles and ducks back behind the tree. And that was when I realized it was intelligent in some way, and it drove me into full panic mode. I fire a shell from the hip at the tree and take off running back to the house. It's about 3/4 of a mile back. My ears are ringing from firing the shotgun. My blood pressure's up. My breathing is up. I finally slow down to just a slight jog to catch my breath and compose myself and try to think of an excuse to explain why I fired a round right there close to it. And that's when I hear it. This thing is running at me, and its footfall is insanely heavy. It honestly sounded like a football player with the plastic on plastic sound that the pads make. So I rack another round and fire where I think I hear it. And at this point, it seemed completely invisible. I take off towards the house, and my girlfriend and her younger brother are just outside the entrance to the pasture I was in. Now, at this time, they're probably about 200 yards away when she screams and points to my left, and her brother run back to the house. I finally clear the gate, slam it behind me before the final sprint home. When I got inside, she told me she could see dirt and leaves being torn up behind me, but couldn't see anything. Her brother confirmed it, and I felt sick at my stomach from the fact that they saw something too. And this still makes me shaky to even think about. Now, the next morning, we all went out together into that field because I wanted to find tracks, because I just knew this had to be real. And I swear, it looked like whatever this thing was had covered them up. We only ever found a few indentations around the tree I spotted it around, but even those had been scuffed and covered in leaves and pine needles. So there you go, folks. What was this? Was this a Glimmer Man chasing him? What on earth could that have possibly been? So, I hope you enjoyed the creepy stories in the woods. Strange things happening, possible Glimmer Man, puck wudgies coming around, not deer strolling up on folks. Who knows? So, when you get ready to go out with the family, do a little camping, you ever just walking around in the park at night, just think about that a little bit. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, we'll wrap this baby up and let Fizzy tell some more stories. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Hey everybody, we're really excited to tell you about an awesome true crime podcast you need to check out. It's called True Crime Couple. Imagine stepping into a chilling true crime story where every detail has been meticulously researched. That's exactly what Kay does. She turns complex cases into gripping, whodunit-style storytelling that keeps you guessing right up until the very end. As a history teacher, she also teaches and weaves in rich historical context, helping you truly understand the time and place where each crime happened. What makes it truly special is that her husband, John, is right there with you. He listens along in real time, reacting exactly like you would. asking the questions you're thinking, laughing, gasping, and sometimes even getting a little spooked. The result is an immersive conversational experience that feels completely different from any other true crime podcast out there. True Crime Couple has earned thousands of five-star reviews, and they've even received heartfelt praises from the families of some of the victims whose stories they've covered. It's a show that handles these cases with both sensitivity and real suspense. Whether you're a longtime true crime fan or you just love a great mystery, Kay's storytelling and John's genuine reactions will pull you right in. So go ahead, hit play, and join Kay and John as they explore the darker side of history, one gripping story at a time. You can find True Crime Couple wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. Let me ask you this.
Sure.
What is it about the woods?
I don't know.
Because we don't. Is it what we're taught? Is all these stories, is folklore? Has it always been a place we're not supposed to go? Like, I mean, it's one thing to go, but like, there's certain areas that give you the weird feelings. But have we built cities and forced that out? From where we've built
them? Well, it definitely has an effect on it, because that's, I mean, we always make the joke when we take people out for the first time, we call them city slickers.
Yeah.
You can totally tell that somebody that's, you know, like we have a friend, Tony.
Yeah, that happened. Yeah,
like
that
when was you're funny. Just not used to the outdoors, it definitely has an effect on people. So I'm sure that goes into part of it.
Yeah.
A lot of it is, man, my worst enemy is my own mind, right?
Like I think it's everybody's, right?
Sitting in the quiet. You just read one of these freaking creepy stories, or I see something in the sky. I'm like, what is that? I'm like, oh,
sitting
man.
Sitting in your stand listening to something.
I really don't want to be abducted today. You know what I'm
Any
saying?
Any day.
Especially today. Like, yeah. I'm feeling it.
It's a good day.
Yeah. So I think you start overanalyzing everything, start second guessing everything.
Is it just because we don't know?
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of like the same thing with the ocean. It just geeks me out about it.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Dude, like we don't know.
Dude, if I watch these guys that are young, like solo sailing across the ocean, and they're like jumping in the Pacific to shower or bathe, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And they're holding onto the rope. I get so nervous, my palms start sweating, because I'm like, dude, you are 2,000 miles from nothing. Yeah, first of all, I'm not doing that.
No.
I mean, they make buckets and pails.
That's
right?
What I'm thinking. Take that rope, tie it to the handle of a bucket.
Yeah.
And then just wrench it. Yeah, dude, what are you doing? Yeah, I can't. I can't.
But it's just like you're saying. It's because that world is so alien to me, right? Yeah. I'd never go sailing.
Yeah. Well, and then now with all the AI stuff, I'm guilty of. I love watching these ridiculous AI videos of like Merman and Fae and Wendigo. I'm like, it's funny. All of a sudden, there was no video footage of all this stuff. And now all this video footage of these alleged creatures where you can look and be like, you know, AI's made all of this. But
not everybody does know that. That's the problem, because we probably get, no joke, 10 people a week send us stuff like
something
that.
Something crazy, yeah. But, you know, I still like the videos.
Oh, yeah.
If you take them for what they're worth, I'm like, yeah, these are pretty fun.
Well, some people send them, they know it's fake. They just say, look at this. This is funny, or this is cool. And I'm like, yeah,
I like it.
I do, too.
I like it. Yeah, so I don't know. I hope y'all enjoyed the unsettling stories. But I don't know what it is about the woods.
I don't know. Well, because the woods do contain predators.
This is true.
I mean, we are usually the top apex predator, but not all the time.
Not all the time. I mean, there are bears out there.
And like, yeah, I always wonder, like, how many times has like a mountain lion maybe been tracking me and I wasn't aware of it?
That's a good point. You know, like we talked about, or like, because I always think that way of like when you're walking down through there, what's laying around there? Is there coyotes? Is there bobcats? Is there mountain lions? Is there something that's laying there watching you the whole time? Like, I feel like, yeah.
And all you got is that stick bow.
Yeah. And when you, like we've talked about, when you feel like, is something looking at me? You get that feeling like, sometimes yeah, more than likely something is.
Yeah.
Probably Sasquatch. It's that squirrel that keeps throwing acorns at me.
You carry a slingshot with you, don't you?
Yeah, but I...
To get rid of them?
Acorns? I use these little clay balls like that are slingshot ammo, and they're not perfectly round. So as you shoot them, you don't really know. Yeah, they may... And they're balls, right? So you're like just throwing knuckleballs at squirrels. So it's enough to scare them out of the trees whenever they're above you jacking around barking. But yeah, what I need is like an Ed gun or something like that.
Umarex.
Get the Umarex out. Yeah, I need the Umarex. Got to get me the gauntlet.
Yeah, you got me going down that path. I ended up watching hours on YouTube.
You're welcome.
Like, yeah. What was it you sent me today? Some kind of reloading video. And here I am 5 hours later. I'm like, what am I doing? Go to sleep.
I knew it would get you. If I sent it to you that late at night, I'm like, this is going to ruin it for him. He's going to be watching and get caught up in it.
I got another Glimmer Man sighting.
Yes! They have been, and folks, thank you to everyone that's bought the book, rich written reviews, the whole thing. Yeah, we really appreciate it. Thank you very much. And big thank you to all of those that keep sending stories.
Yeah, I was joking with Lon the other day. I said, we almost got the second book written already.
Yeah, they're just piling in.
We'll have enough stories for another book by the end of the year if they keep coming in at the rate they're coming.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Listen to this. It says, I have an intriguing life full of mysterious experiences.
Hey now.
And I want to share them while I still can. I usually do not speak openly about what I have seen, who I have met, or what I have experienced. But I think it's good and safe to share this here. Your recent Glimmer Man show was one of my favorites so far.
Thanks.
It was my actual relieving to hear it because although I've seen a great deal in my life, my experience with a cloaked creature and my husband's separate encounter were among the strangest. My husband and I were living in Florida at the time. This was during 2020. At the time, we lived in a large house beside a swampy pond, roughly 50 feet from the water and less than 5 minutes from a state park. I mention that because I've been weary of state and national parks. This person's been reading David Politis.
Yeah, huh? Here we go.
Oh, it even says, both because of the patterns discussed by David Politis and because of my own experience. Living on that property only reinforced that feeling. One afternoon in July 2020, I was in my kitchen filming a tarot reading for my YouTube channel. That was the focus of my channel at the time. I was seated at my kitchen table facing the front door. The house had mostly had an open floor plan. So from where I sat, I could see clearly from the front door all the way through the house toward the sliding patio doors in the back. There was a direct visual line from the entry to the kitchen area. Near the front door, I had a realistic faux pine tree as part of my decor. I love the northern forest, and I had stayed that house, or I had styled, I'm sorry, that house with that kind of atmosphere in mind. While I was in the middle of the reading, early in the afternoon, on a blindingly bright and sunny day, inside a house full of natural light, I saw the Glimmer Man in my home. I suddenly heard the tree by the front door jostle. I looked up and saw it tipping back and forth. At that same moment, I saw a tall, thick, semi-transparent being in the loose shape of a humanoid run past the tree and down the hallway leading toward my craft room, my husband's studio, and his bathroom. It looked like frosted glass. I would estimate it was at least 6 foot tall and around 3 feet wide or thick from what I could make out. It moved quickly. But what struck me the most was how graceful it was. Its movement seemed unnaturally smooth, almost superhuman. I'd been speaking in the middle of a sentence, and on camera, I stopped and called out, "Hello? Who's there?" I'm used to seeing unusual things, so I was not exactly afraid, but I was definitely startled. I sat there holding the cards, staring down the hallway where it had disappeared, trying to decide whether I should follow it, and I finally decided against it. My feeling that whatever it was, it clearly did not want to be seen or pursued. After a moment, I said to the camera, "I think I just had an experience." Then I tried to continue the reading, though I stayed tense and alert, listening and watching in case the thing showed itself again or became aggressive. The whole incident was stressful, and things only became stranger after that. I'm extremely grateful that we eventually left that property. Several months later, my husband had his own experience. One night, sometime around 10 p.m., we were in bed. I was nearly asleep, but he was still awake, watching television and drifting in that tired but weird state after a long day at work. Suddenly, he shook me awake and whispered excitedly, "I saw it! I saw it! Past those trees!" that's not what I said. I asked him what he meant. He said, "I saw the cloaking thing. The technology. I just saw it, like what you said a while ago." I sat up and asked him to explain. He said that the bedroom was dark except for the television and the light spilling in from the kitchen, where I always insisted on leaving a light on. He pointed to the top of the bedroom door frame, softly lit by the ivory glow from the other room. He said, man, it was right there. It was a somewhat large patch of transparent but warped air, and it moved like it was floating or crawling. And the two of us stayed awake for a while comparing notes. What I had seen was a full-bodied form. It had the frosted glass appearance. It moved quickly and seemed to have intention. It had nearly knocked over the tree by the front door. What he saw was different in shape and behavior. It was slower, crystal clear rather than frosted, and about 1 foot by 2 foot in size. He could not make out a definite humanoid shape, only a distortion, as if something were cloaked or hidden in the air itself. My husband never had any paranormal experiences before meeting me. Now we both do, and we speak about them openly. I share my closest memories and deepest experiences with him, and I am grateful to have another experiencer in my life. He embraces it now, wants to meet other people with similar accounts, and wants to see even more. Life is magical, B. So again, this is where we talk about with the Glimmer Man. Is it a ghost? What is it? But it has a physicality because it almost knocked that tree over, the fake pine tree she had as a decoration.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to see it.
I don't like it when it's in your house.
I don't like that.
When it's in the woods, that's one thing.
Exactly.
When it's in your, you know, your residence, that's not cool.
I don't want it hanging out in my house.
She should have mentioned what her YouTube channel is.
Yeah.
Could have promoted it.
Exactly.
Some kind of tarot card reading YouTube channel.
Maybe that's what brought it. Just trying to get a reading.
Yeah, maybe it was interested.
Just trying to get a reading done. That's all I'm trying to do. But you can't see them, so you can't read. It's hard to cut the cards when you can't see who's cutting the cards.
That's a good point. Well, I mean, you getting ready for your Renaissance fire?
I suppose so. Yes, it's going to be something else. It's probably going to be a little muddy, but I'm okay with that. Yeah. It won't be too bad, but I'm looking forward to it. I like going every year. We always talk about it. We enjoy going down there. I would like to go to the one down in like Central Texas. Get down around Houston or whatnot, down to that big one. What's, I think it's called the Texas Renaissance Fair. I keep saying we're going to go to that one, but then that's also during deer season. So it's really hard to cut loose on a weekend to go to the Renaissance Fair.
Yeah.
When I could be in the woods. So
yeah,
that's a problem. But that's about it.
I'm going to be going to Galveston at the end of next week. So I got to get all my work done and chance to do that.
And you've been chilling with Pop this whole time.
Watching my dad for 7 days. So that's been exhausting.
Yeah.
I love him. But man, just only so many times you can watch The Predator, right?
Yeah. Whole series. Yeah. He's watched at least each one at least twice now.
I know for a fact he's watched the original one twice because I put it on for him.
Yeah.
And then yesterday when we dropped my dad off so that we could go play D&D,
yeah,
my wife put on Predator 2 for him because he really likes Predator 2.
That's a good one too because I'm a big Danny Glover fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
so
a good one.
There's no telling how many. So I think he doesn't know how to play a lot of stuff because, you know, of his stroke,
yeah,
but he knows how to find the Predator movies on his TV. So I guess my mom like mapped them out. Oh, he knows what the thumbnail looks like for sure.
Yeah. So he knows that part. Golly, Pop. What a handful.
Yeah, that's all I got going. Before we get out of here, let's not forget about our wonderful sponsors. For a limited time, our listeners can get 50% off for life, plus free shipping and 3 free gifts. Just go to mengotomars.com.
Word.
And don't forget about the podcast we mentioned, True Crime Couple. You can find it on all podcatchers. If you have any stories you'd like to share with Cam and I, do not hesitate. You can email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can also call the hotline, 888-393-2783. And if you want more Expanded Perspectives, just go to our Patreon page, Expanded Perspectives Elite. And don't forget about the Glimmer Man book. You can find it on Amazon. You can get it Kindle version, paperback version, audiobook, whatever you want.
Yeah.
And we'll be shipping out the signed copies very, very soon. I hope everybody out there has a good week. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.